broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hey, great, good, chilly morning to you. It's 51 degrees at Volcano on the Big Island. They've got a 9:10, a 10:20, a nooner for you to go out and play. It's a gorgeous day. Maybe a little bit windy this weekend. They've got gusts of 40 by Sunday. Not as windy today. So get out and play. Have some fun. You know, in the cold weather, your ball may not go as far as you're accustomed to. It's not you. It's probably your body not accustomed to the conditions. Layer up. Okay, our guest this morning, Mark Rolfing, NBC Sports and Golf Channel golf analyst, founder and president of the Chicago Parks Golf Alliance. He's got something going on here in Hawaii, too. And we're going to talk about what could be happening, possible golf center at the Alawai Golf Course, maybe a Top Golf coming to Hawaii. Bob Bupka, the lead golf analyst for Talk Sport in the UK, host of the Grill Room Golf Show on iTunes. His insights, he's just back from the PGA Merchandise Show. Jason Diger, director of instruction at Golf Tech. We're going to go over my, we're going to do it last week, and this week we're actually going to talk about the Callaway Epic and my review. He let me play the one he had at Golf Tech. Alex Maselli, golf writer. He's got a new creation. It's called Morning Read. Going to catch up with Alex Maselli. And, of course, Ron Cyrak, the 2017 LPGA season is underway. We're going to catch up. What's up with the low scores? It's like everybody, if your mind believes, your body will follow. But first, it's Mark Rolfing after we thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Alan Nakata and Associates, the pre-Social Security and Social Security recipient specialists on Oahu and Maui. The team will help you and your parents avoid problems before they come up. That's Alan Nakata, 548-7526. Poipupe Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. Poipupe Golf Course, an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. Kauai's South Shore gem. Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, warehouse, showroom, or your home project into artwork. Futura Stone, only the best. And by Claude Brousseau, master PGA professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 coach, Aimpoint certified, and Golf Channel lead coach. You need a lesson with Claude Brousseau. Creative Plumbing. Whether a building, shopping center, store, a custom home, or townhouse, a new build, renovation, or repair, call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Creative Plumbing. And by Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home, Raynor Doors.
And, of course, we're going to talk a little bit about Tiger Woods. No, he didn't make the cut at Torrey Pines, but neither did Jason Day. Yeah, or Dustin Johnson, and they were the star group over at Torrey Pines as the Farmers Insurance Open got underway in San Diego. It was cold, it was interesting, and not ad nauseum. We will talk a little bit about Tiger Woods because it's interesting. Tiger Woods is working with Mark Rolfing, NBC Sports and Golf Channel golf analyst and founder and president of the Chicago Parks Golf Alliance, to work on the project that Mark is the man behind in Chicago. He may be behind something that's happening right here in Hawaii that has to do with the Alawai Golf Course and the Kahuku Golf Course, now owned by the City and County of Honolulu. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Good morning, Danielle. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I am good. Lots to talk about this morning, it sounds like.
Yes. And it's all your fault.
Well, that's what happens when you get cured of cancer, I guess. Now I'm going nuts, right?
No, yeah, well, it's exactly what you said. I think the first time we talked after the process, the procedures, what you went to go through to go from stage four to being clean of this cancer that was so terrifying to go through, I can only imagine. You said to me, I'm not going to hold back. I'm speaking my mind. And I thought, and he's taking action and he's getting things done and he's doing it right. And so I'm not surprised at all that you just grab it by the horns and you just come out and do it. Who else will?
Well, there's lots of opportunity and no time to waste now, that's for sure.
Okay, so the proponent of golf in Hawaii at the highest level, Mark Rolfing has been lobbying for all of the major events that we have here in Hawaii, the Tournament of Champions, PGA Tour, of course, the Sony Open in Hawaii, the Mitsubishi Electric, bringing somebody from the LPGA Tour, bringing an event. We've got the Champions Tour. We had so many events here before. And I couldn't help but wonder, Mark Rolfing, when I was reading in Pacific Business News, Dwayne's article about Top Golf coming and about some of the changes possibly at Kahuku. And the biggest one, I think, is the Alawai Golf Course. Can you start off with telling us a little bit about what you see for the Alawai and how much cooperation you're getting?
Well, I'm getting a lot of cooperation. That's been the biggest change. I'm really seeing a totally different viewpoint from the city and county of Honolulu. They are going to be very aggressive in what they do with their entire golf situation. It's been a pretty passive organization that has owned a number of golf courses on Oahu for years. And they've now just added to their portfolio by buying Kahuku. But, you know, I think if you take a look at all the islands, Oahu is the one that does the least promotion for its golf and probably pays the least attention to its golf. And particularly if it's marketing to tourists just don't really know that you can come to Oahu and play a lot of different golf courses and have a really good time. And I truly believe that the whole Oahu push for golf needs to start at Alawai because that's the centerpiece that's been a facility that's been there for decades and decades, and it's a tired facility. It's underutilized. Used to be the world's busiest golf course. It's not anymore. There's still a lot of people playing golf there, sure. But it's a clubhouse that's pretty vacant most of the time, and it's a place where there are very few real entertainment initiatives. There's not a lot of tournaments that go on there or junior programs or there's not a vibrancy to the situation at Oahu, and I think for the entire island to thrive golf-wise, it needs to start at Alawai because Alawai should be the hub.
So you see the Alawai Golf Complex, let's call it the golf complex, as a center. Like, we talked briefly about it once in the last few weeks as the Aloha Swing came through, about it being the center for junior golf. The Hawaii State Junior Golf Association could headquarter there, the Hawaii State Golf Association, the Aloha Section PGA. Is that the idea, bringing everybody together in one place?
Yeah, that's a trend across America. It does a couple of things, Danielle. It gets the organizations working together, and it saves a lot of administrative costs. Very popular now across America to build these complexes called golf houses, where all the organizations are housed together, and they can have one common area where people call in. If you want to talk about junior golf, you get forwarded to an expert on junior golf. You want to talk about women's golf, you can probably go to a different department. But I don't think there's a need to have all these offices and all these headquarters of a bunch of different Hawaii golf associations. We're just too small a place. And the clubhouse at Alawai, particularly the second floor, which is now used only for community meetings very rarely and some ballroom dancing. It just has a lot of underutilized space. And I would love to see, some vibrancy there. And I think bringing some of the organizations in would help.
Yes, and it'll save them money. They'd have less overhead in having to rent space. As for the course itself, obviously it needs a refreshing, a rejuvenation, a fluffing, if you will, if not a complete redesign. I was thinking, well, Tiger Woods is helping you in Chicago. Could he give us some ideas here in Hawaii for the Alawai?
Well, nothing's out of the question, I don't think. At this stage, I'm not as concerned about redesigning the course as I am trying to bring some initiatives to the course. And we've got to start getting people out there and utilizing the facilities in a lot of different ways. And that's one of the things I really like about the Top Golf idea. You know, somebody's going to have to spend quite a bit of money to work on the parking at Alawai and the entrance and just, you know, really sort of polishing the apple, because it's a real jewel just lying there, but it hasn't had money put into it in a long time, and it needs a lot of work. And I think that's what an entity, whether it's Topgolf or anybody else, now that the driving range area has been designated, it needs some capital investment. And I don't believe the city can do it itself. The city doesn't have the money in these difficult economic times to start fixing up all their golf courses and facilities. But I think other people will do it for them.
I was talking a year ago about this time. I think it was the first week in February with the director of communication for Topgolf. And I asked her specifically if there were plans to bring a Topgolf here to Hawaii. At the time, she said no. Typically, she says, between 12 and 14 acres, and this is what she told me a year ago, is needed for a Topgolf facility. And I thought, yeah, that's expensive for Hawaii land. But when you take it and use something like an area of the Alawai, and when she said typically you can think out of the box and maybe do some adjustments so that it doesn't have to be quite that expansive, it could be maybe a smaller area that's used or just creatively built the way they do the clubhouse, however it is, because it's magnificent the way they do Topgolf on the mainland. And there's one in Las Vegas, and she and I were joking that I told her that's our ninth island, so at least there's one that everybody goes to from Hawaii. But to have one in Waikiki would just create a party that brings people together and plays golf at the same time. That's so much fun. It's a huge rejuvenation. And then I asked her recently when I heard about this possibility that you're working on, Mark Rolfing. She said, yes, there's considerable interest. So you've started something.
Well, good. I can tell you this, the 12 to 14 acres that she's talking about is there, because that includes the facility itself and the parking. The actual Topgolf facilities are somewhere in the 7 to 8 acre range, which is about the size of the current Alawai driving range, and then the rest of it is parking. There's plenty of space there. There's no question that Topgolf is interested. It's far from being a done deal. There's a lot of work that has to be done still. But I think now, really for the first time, the city is going to be aggressive and say, what can we do to make the Alawai better? And the great thing about Topgolf, the thing I like most about it, is that nearly 80% of the people that play Topgolf are not golfers.
Yeah.
And I'm totally convinced that it is introducing new people to the game, and that something like Topgolf or another facility, let's say, of some other kind, if it wasn't Topgolf, would be a great attraction. We got a lot of people in Waikiki every day, and most of them are non-golfers. And if we could start entertaining them by introducing them to golf over at the Alawai, I just think it would be a tremendously positive situation.
Yeah, there is another entity, as you said. I'm not sure if it's the one with TaylorMade or Callaway. They've joined forces, and they're starting to do a Topgolf-like. Now, if they were to do that here in Hawaii, if they would immediately market themselves to people who come to visit here and go home with this great experience and want to have one of those venues in their own hometown. I think it's win-win, and we'll have a great time. And everybody who plays at the Alawai will still enjoy it, maybe even more so, and bring an energy to it that's kind of going away, like you said. And what was really exciting from the city and county of Honolulu is their decision to save that ocean line, the shore at Kahuku, and buying the land where that 9-hole golf course that is Machinella's favorite golf course on Oahu. You know, when he talks about his favorites, of course he talks about Turtle Bay and some others. But it's, you know, he says, if you haven't gone to Turtle Bay, or if you are at Turtle Bay, just drive down the little coast and find the Kahuku golf course. It's magnificent. So what is the idea about adding 1,000 acres? Tell me more.
Well, I have been looking, Danielle, at the Kahuku Golf Course off and on for almost 8 years now and have done a lot of work out there, including talking with adjacent landowners and pretty much all the stakeholders out in Kahuku. I never had any interest in any development out there, which was what the last landowner wanted to do, was build million-dollar homes on the Kahuku Golf Course. And that simply wouldn't have worked. It was a terrible idea. I didn't want anything to do with it. I believe that Kahuku is the best remaining golf course site in Hawaii and one of the best in America, if not the best, for a number of reasons. Again, it's back to the Alawai principle, which is it is underutilized when it comes to golf. That's the only place in our islands now that has a sandy coastline. And when you have a sand-based parcel of land, it is much more cost-effective to build a golf course and maintain it. And you could build a links-style course. There's a couple of magnificent dunes there that are not really utilized right now that you would play around. You wouldn't cut them up. You would play around them. And on both ends of that property, there's a U.S. Fish and Wildlife area that's hundreds and hundreds of acres that's not owned by the city, but I'm not convinced that there shouldn't be some golf, particularly along the ocean and the dunes there, because the birds don't land there anyway. They land in the wetlands area in the middle that could be preserved. And if you're a bird flying around, you're not going to know where the city golf course land ends and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife starts. So my theory is to blend it all together and make it one big, wonderful oceanfront links. And at the same time, preserve it against development for the rest of time, which doing a golf course would do.
Exactly. And there's so many golf courses across the country that are wildlife sanctuaries, bird sanctuaries. So they work in concert with one another. Golfers are, for the most part, environmentalists. So it's perfect. Everybody wants their golf course to stay pristine and beautiful and not be encroached upon. When I played the Prince course before there was any development around it, it was one of the most spiritual experiences you can have. And that was that's part of the beauty of getting outside, playing a game, doing a little something, letting your mind drift. And the Kahuku Golf Course is an amazing place to do that. You're being blown by the wind. You've got the ocean, the dunes, and then you've got the protected areas where you play golf. It's magnificent. And that is what is so magnificent about seeing the Aloha Swing on television, watching the beauty of Kapalua, and then seeing the guys come from Kapalua to the Sony Open in Hawaii, and some of the aerial shots this year were fabulous over the Wailea Country Club. And then everybody's going, oh, there's no wind in Hawaii. Well, they got some wind at Hualalai, and that is a fantastic golf course. It's a shame it was cut to 36 holes. But was this not one of the best Aloha Swings ever?
I really think it was. I thought Hawaii looked as good as I've seen it in years, Danielle. It looked phenomenal, and yeah, it was too bad that the thing got canceled over at Hualalai. I wish they would have waited just a little bit longer and ridden the wind out a little bit, because I think they probably could have ended up playing on Sunday the next day, particularly if they'd have prepared the course just a little different, maybe not roll the greens or bowl them quite as low. But Hawaii looked fabulous, and I think that's why it is such an attractive part of the PGA Tour at that time of year. It's different when you're watching golf from Hawaii and it's 20 degrees below zero, wind chill factor on the East Coast. That's different than watching golf even from Florida or Palm Springs or Arizona. There's something magical about Hawaii, and I spent quite a bit of time talking with the new PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan about it, and I'm now convinced after this last Aloha Swing that the PGA Tour needs to be in Hawaii, and it needs to be in Hawaii in January, and I think it will be.
Now, they've been also talking, the LPGA Commissioner Mike Wan and Mr. Monahan, both have been openly discussing, to the media at least, the idea, and amongst themselves they say, that it could have a component. The LPGA champions could also come to Kapalua. There would be the LPGA champions playing while the PGA Tour champions are playing. That would be tremendously exciting, exactly where I think it would really bring out that the competitive, bring the women, the men. It's just a lot of, the idea is huge. What do you think? Do you think it's got legs?
I love the idea, and you can imagine I'm involved in that discussion. As a matter of fact, I'm on my way to Phoenix tomorrow, where I'm doing an event with Gary Woodland at Top Golf in Scottsdale on Tuesday night, because the PGA Tour is there. But I'm also going to be meeting with all the Troon folks, Dana Garmany and company, who are headquartered in Phoenix, to discuss it a little bit further. I like the idea. It's not going to happen in 2018. That's just, there's not enough time to put it together. But I truly believe the LPGA, you know, would benefit tremendously from this. First of all, they don't even have a tournament of champions.
They don't.
Effectively right now.
Yes.
So it would be easy. I have spent a little time even talking with Ben Crenshaw while he was here about what would it look like on the plantation course if we had to build some forward tees, because there's a few holes there that simply would need to have a couple of forward tees built.
Like 18?
Long par 5. Well, maybe 18, number 7. Some of those big holes that used to play downwind when the trade winds blew and downhill when the ground was firm, now we got soft ground and no trade winds. At least we're in that cycle right now. So there would have to be some adjustments and accommodations, but I think it would be a phenomenal way to start the year and create tremendous interest for Hawaii, even more than the Aloha Swing gets now.
Yes, absolutely. It would bring all eyes here. And I've got to tell you, there's this guy from Boston. I don't know his name. He was just chatting with somebody over at the Kapalua Golf Academy, and he said that I overheard him saying, you know, well, I heard about this snowstorm coming in. He was from Boston. He booked a flight right away, came over. You know, he's spending thousands upon thousands of dollars just to stay a night in Kapalua. And he just did it because he saw Hawaii, and he said, I'm getting out of Boston. I don't want that weather. Now, on television, I watched someone from, I think it was the Hawaii Tourism Authority, say that only about $3 million is generated from the Aloha Swing. I thought to myself, wait a second, that seems like a sales tool to tell the PGA Tour that they're not worth that much to them, so why should they pay?
Yeah, I don't know where they got that number. Somebody wants to have some real numbers, they can call me up. But the economic impact is gigantic, and there's a lot of different ways to measure economic impact. Maybe directly, I suppose, in terms of airline tickets, that's all the people spend. But you start adding in rental cars and money that's spent shopping and dining and everything else, it's way bigger than $3 million. So, yeah, they were a little low on that estimate.
I thought so. Mark Rolfing, I'm watching Michelle Wee. She is, you know, we've got the 2017 LPGA season underway. We're all close to Michelle. She's now with Callaway. And I just really hope this season, these girls are shooting incredible. Lexi Thompson, 61 yesterday. Brittany Lincecum, two-day lowest scoring, 64 and a 65. Yeah, just amazing golf that's being played on the LPGA. Have you talked with Michelle?
I have not talked to Michelle in quite some time, and I really want to, and kind of see where her head is at and what she's thinking. You know, the LPGA is going the same direction as the men are, Danielle. The athletes are getting better. The equipment is getting better. The players are getting stronger. And Lexi Thompson is shooting these low scores just as much because of her strength around the greens. And it takes a lot of strength to hit a flop shot, the kind of shots that the women never played a couple of decades ago. It's not just about how far you hit the ball. Strength is an important factor everywhere on a golf course. And so those athletes are just getting better and better. And I'm hoping Michelle Wee is looking at it that way and saying, I've got to get better if I can compete out here, and how am I going to do it? And I'm not sure, at least right now in my mind, that David Ledbetter is the answer. Maybe he is, but if so, I just really wanted to put a videotape in of when she was 14 at the Sony Open and look what her swing looked like back then, when it was long and fluid and natural and powerful, and how much shorter and compact it has gotten, and really, it's a completely different kind of hit than it was a decade ago.
Absolutely. I concur. I agree completely. I wish she'd go back to her natural swing. Mark Rolfing, travel safe. Can't wait to talk to you again, find out all the things. I just know that tomorrow morning, something that I haven't thought of asking you is going to be on the front page of the newspaper. And Mark Rolfing is doing this, and Mark Rolfing is doing that. Thank you so much for being so active and making so many things happen. I'm just really thrilled to see what's going on in Chicago, the Chicago Parks Golf Alliance. Mark Rolfing is founder and president. It's just awesome what you're doing. Thanks so much for being on the show.
All right, thanks, Danielle. This won't be the last time. We'll do it again.
Oh, awesome. Aloha.
Aloha.
We're going to come back and talk with Bob Bupka. He's just back from the PGA show. And there's an inventor's corner. And that's the one place I would want to go. Yeah, sure, I'd like to see all the new clubs. But the inventor's corner, that's where all the really cool little things that people have been working on for years in their garage. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futuristone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futuristone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative
Experts on call.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
My doctor recommended Alan Nakata and Associates, the pre-Social Security and Social Security recipient specialists on Oahu and Maui. You should really check them out. Their team will help you and your parents avoid problems before they come up. Their dedication, commitment, experience, and empathy all come from the heart. So call Alan Nakata and Associates at 548-7526. And learn how you can hang on to what you have and keep your parents at home. Alan Nakata is your guide.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
On Maui, at Maui Nui, the Kanaka Kahili Motorcycle Club is having a shotgun tournament to raise money for charity. Recently, just a couple of days ago at the PGA show, golf charitable impact was discussed. The U.S. golf industry impact on charities, $3.9 billion a year is raised. More golf facilities hosting events than ever, 12,700 last year in 2016. That's a huge number. Bob Bupka, he is the voice of golf. He is the lead golf analyst for Talk Sport in the UK. He is host of the Grill Room Golf Show on TuneIn, and he's with us this morning after being at the PGA show. Welcome. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Danielle. How are you?
Great. great. And how was that show?
Well, we went down to the Inventor's Corner.
You did? Yes.
And the one thing that I was looking for and what golf really needs, and nobody's invented it yet, we need to come up with some more Mark Rolfing, because he does so much for golf, but he can only do so much as an individual. So I'd like to see more people step up to the plate. And I was listening in Q, you know, what he's going to be doing in Chicago is simply incredible. I think that economic impact study was accurate in the $3 million. That was the income that went to Mark Rolfing, not to the state of Hawaii.
Yeah, he's got so much going on with the Alawai Golf Course that, you know, and the city and county of Honolulu really wants to get into sprucing up their resource, which is huge. They've got these beautiful city and county municipal golf courses, and they should be promoted to the visitors as well to come, because they're gorgeous, and the Alawai needs a little sprucing up because it hasn't been really you know, taken care of that much. Now we got the Kahuku Golf Course, which is awesome. But before we go to what your favorite things were that you found, Tiger Woods. You've been following Tiger Woods your entire career. You must have seen every one of his major championship wins, all 14. And with Tiger Woods missing the cut for the first time, this is what I loved when I heard on television. Tiger Woods misses the cut for the first time ever at Torrey Pines. You know, we'll be able to say that, Bob, first time ever at most golf courses he's played at over the course of his career, because he's only missed the cut 16 times.
Yeah, good point, Danielle. Matter of fact, when you look at Torrey Pines, 7 victories, 1 missed cut. I mean, that's a pretty good batting average, to say the least. You know, Tiger's problem, he didn't even come close to making the cut, but just taking a quick overview of it, day one, he only hit 8 of 14 fairways. Day two, he got a little bit better, 10 of 14 fairways. But you cannot play Torrey Pines, whether it's north or south, following a week of heavy rain, and not keep it in the fairway. The rough is treacherous there, and that's why Tiger didn't make the cut. He hit it reasonably well, which is scary in itself, Danielle, because I don't know if reasonably well is going to be good enough to, you know, compete with the high-class talent that's now on the PGA Tour. So we'll have to reserve judgment. He's going to be playing... 3 more events here over the next couple of weeks. I'll be with him down in Honda when he plays in Florida. So we'll have a eyeball-to-eyeball look at exactly what he's doing, and we should know a little bit more of the status of Tiger's game by the time we get down to Florida.
We missed you at the Sony Open in Hawaii, and Justin Rose was so close, but nobody could catch Justin Thomas. It was just, he was just on fire. Came through the Tournament of Champions. You were there for the SBS Tournament of Champions, and then he rolled through the Sony Open in Hawaii. Nobody had a chance. Justin Rose was, Justin's at the top of the leaderboard with Adam Hadwin and Brant Snedeker and Ollie Snyder-Jones and Keegan Bradley. It's good to see Keegan. I hope he pulls it off, you know, keeps on going through the weekend and doesn't stumble. But I really want to talk to you about that Inventor's Corner. What did you find there? Was there anything that really caught your eye?
Yeah, there were actually 2 things that I thought were pretty special. One is a company that's called Arcos, A-R-C-O-S. But it's little inserts that are put into the end of your club, you know, the butt of the grip. You take it out, these screw in. There's 14 of them, 1 for each club in your bag. And then every shot that you hit with those clubs is analyzed, and you get a readout on your cell phone when you finish the round. The one aspect of it that impressed me, let's say somebody's a 10 handicap, and this thing will say when they hit their 7 iron, they're really looking like they're a 5 handicap. And when they're hitting their driver, they look like they're 15 handicap. So then you know what you really have to work on to, you know, get better. You know, the combination of the 5 and the 15 gives you the 10 handicap. But I don't think anybody really knows what portion of their game contributes to that specific handicap. And then the other thing that I thought was really pretty ingenious, it's a bicycle that has, you know, golf bags. You can put your clubs on the back of the bike, and you pedal your way around. So instead of walking, you ride your bike, it speeds up play, you get good exercise. I just thought it was a great idea. Now, I don't know about playing the plantation course, riding that bike. I mean, a lot of holes, those downhill holes would be a lot of fun. Those uphill holes might be a little bit of a problem. Ben Hongo is the only one that could do that.
Yeah, Ben
He's
Hongo.
In good enough shape.
Yes. Well, you know what? You just made me laugh because I was thinking, you know, yeah, that's a really good idea. The surfboard concept, you know, the board concept is... I'm not really comfortable about the movement of that, probably because I'm not young and 20. And I get tired of a golf cart getting in and out. It doesn't feel like I'm doing anything for my body, sitting down and then standing up like that. But a bicycle, I was just feeling, okay, I could do a bike along the cart paths. Yeah, and I'm thinking about some of the courses that I play on. When you said the plantation course, definitely not an option there for the bicycle, but that's really cool. And then all they need to do is hook up something like a blender, and you can like make your smoothie as you're riding your bike through the golf course.
Yeah,
there you go. Danielle's
throw gone. A bottle of gin in there, and then you won't even know you're going uphill.
We've taken care of it. So, you know, I've heard that it's 13 miles of walking to cover the entire PGA merchandise show.
Yeah, it really is, but it's such a great place. I mean, you would thoroughly enjoy it. The show is 3 days, but it would be way too quick for you because you just get wrapped around seeing so many people there. I actually got to talk to Eric Trump, Donald Trump's son, who was down there, and I've known him from the past, and a really, really nice guy. So that was a lot of fun. And then you run into old friends. I have a friend that has a hat company, started way back in the early 1900s. Wayne Joplin is his name. And I said, Wayne, how many shows for you? He said, it's my 51st.
Wow.
51st consecutive PGA merchandise show. So... And that's the kind of people you run into. It's just a mass of humanity. And ironically enough, riding the bus to get to the convention center, two gentlemen sit behind me, and I say to them, are you buyers or sellers? And the guy said, no, I'm a buyer. I'm a head pro, and this is my assistant pro. And, of course, I said, where are you head pro? He said, Fishers Island. Well, for those that don't know, it's about as tough to play Fishers Island as it is Augusta National or Pine Valley or any of those places like that. So I was delighted that bus got stuck in traffic because that gave me more time to talk to this head pro. And at the very last stop where we're about to get out, he says, anytime this summer you want to come over and play Fishers Island, Bob, you have an invitation. My head almost went through the roof of the bus.
Wow. Now, those are the kinds of contacts. Those are the kinds of moments that you can't have unless you actually go to the PGA merchandise show. So much on display. And you were talking about that ARCO system. I was really taken by the fact that the Cobra King F7 driver, and I think it comes with the ARCO system built into it, so you don't even have to have somebody insert it for you. You can put it in any clubs, but in the Cobra King F7, which is sort of a, I'm going to call it a beginner's club, kind of like the Callaway the new Callaway that they have out for beginners, and the Ping S series driver. Those are really newbie kind of friendly.
Yeah, well, for those out there that are struggling with their golf game, after seeing all the new technology at the show, I'm predicting 9 years from now, all you'll have to do is go stand on the tee, take this golf club, and it'll hit the ball by itself, and then you go to the next shot, and you'll become a great golfer overnight. You never have to practice. You never have to spend money on range balls. Ben Hongo goes broke. But, you know, the technology, more and more boosts at this show were on the technology side than anything else.
What would you wanted to buy? What did you want to take home with you? That was what did you pick up there that you really liked?
There is a super deluxe high-end chair that does everything but make you drink. It massages and does this and does that and tilts your back and tilts your forward. And I sat in there and I didn't want to get out. And then I said, I'd really like to have one of these at my house. And they said, well, that can be arranged. I said, really? How much is that? And they said, $9,995.
Wow.
That's a show special. I said, well, if I got that chair in my house, I wouldn't be able to afford to sit down because I have to be out working to make the money to pay for it.
Yes, but it'd be great to have for Super Bowl next weekend.
Yeah, I can borrow it for the Super Bowl.
Thank you very much. And now I'll send it back. That's wonderful. And how's your show? Who's your new partner? You have a new partner on your show.
Yeah, he's wanted by the FBI, so I can't really give out his name. No, he's a fellow by the name of Jay Randolph Jr. He's a radio legend in his own right in the St. Louis area. His father, who I worked with in the past, did so much St. Louis baseball. Jay Randolph is a respected name in the radio industry, and we're having a lot of fun doing the Grill Room. Of course, big shoes to fill, replacing Alex Maselli. So we're listening to offers from Alex. He wants to pay quite a bit to come back and be part of the show, but
it's great.
He's going to have to pay a little more.
Bob Bubka is the host of the Grill Room Golf Show. It's on TuneIn Radio, and it's on demand. You can listen at your leisure. It's a great show. I'm really enjoying the interaction between Jay Randolph Jr. and you, Bobby. You sound great together. So you can listen to the Grill Room Golf Show on TuneIn, and of course, Bob Bubka is on Talk Sport in the UK, their lead golf analyst. Thank you for bringing the PGA Merchandise Show into our homes. We appreciate you.
Well, I certainly, Danielle. And in closing, there is a new driver out. It's called a vertical groove driver, where the grooves on the face go up and down. John Daly's using it. We were with John the other day. It hits the ball further and hits it straighter. So if you want to improve your game off the tee, look up vertical groove driver.
Okay. Well, see, now we're on the way to having that club do everything for us. You just have to make the mind.
It's getting close. Getting close.
You're on it. Bob Bubka, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Danielle.
Absolutely. Jason Dygert's coming up next from Golf Tech. We're going to talk about what you just told me. And we're going to talk about just have that driver maybe. My mind tells it what to do, and I don't have to worry about my body getting in the way of what my mind tells it to do. It's usually my body that gets in the way. We're going to come back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
My doctor recommended Allen Nakata and Associates, the pre-Social Security and Social Security recipient specialists on Oahu and Maui. The team will will help you and your parents avoid problems before they come up. Our dedication, commitment, experience, and empathy comes from the heart. Call Alan Nakata and Associates at 548-7526. Learn how you can hang on to what you have and keep your parents at home. Alan Nakata is your guide.
Waipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Strong, quiet, dependable, reliable. Sounds like a great husband for my daughter. But really, it's your new Rainer garage door. Your home deserves the beauty and dependability that only Rainer can give. Call us today at 676-3667. Ask about our fall special and save money as you improve your home. That's Rainer Hawaii, 676-D-O-O-R.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club. But you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the golf club.
If you've listened any length of time to this show, you know that I've had back surgery, and one is always recovering from back surgery. One always has this little thing in one's back that one has to watch out for, so you build your swing to make sure that the little thing back there never gets irritated so that you can't do what you want to do. There's nothing worse than being put out of action. Okay, so I love irons because there's something about the iron that I just feel it's more compact. It's close to my body. I'm not doing all the turning that. But then I learned, I was watching, you know, the PGA merchandise show on Golf Channel's Morning Drive. They were showing me things like, well, you know, the Callaway Big Bertha. They started it all, the magnificently huge face. But now they have the Fusion driver. That looked quite interesting. The Ping S Series driver, yes. The Cobra King F7. Now, that caught my, I think it's the F7, with the Arco system built into it. Oh, that's nice. It's like Bob said. It tells you what, you know, where the weaknesses are in your game, so you have to practice a little bit more. But I got a chance to try the Callaway Epic when I was working with Golf Tech's Director of Instruction, Jason Digert, just the other day, about how to actually swing a driver. And you taught me. Welcome to the show, Jason. Jump in here.
Good morning, Danielle. Thank you. Yeah.
You know, when just in a half an hour, you made me understand what my body needed to do to make the driver work. And it was phenomenal. Just some of the tips that you gave me, that ball position forward, center of stance, head position back at address, practice swinging, clipping the tee, all of those things. Yeah, people, you know, I don't know. Are you getting all this, folks? Because it was just so quickly and so simple, and all of a sudden I was making contact with the scariest club in my bag, the driver. It was wonderful. Jason Digert, thank you.
Well, I'm happy to hear that some of those things that we did are making their way into your golf DNA, if you will.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, the driver, the things that you were just talking about is set up fundamentals that are pretty specific to the driver, where you put the ball position more forward, you have a little bit more tilt of your shoulders to the right, the head's a little bit more behind the ball. So those things are going to help a player hit a driver better simply by changing the angle of attack going into the golf ball. The driver is the one club that we want to sweep off the tee or even swing slightly up on it to maximize distance. And those little adjustments make it easier for the player to do that. And I think a part of it, too, is the player has to kind of get the concept in their head, because right when we're really working on initially working on a player, and the same way we did with you, Danielle, is getting the ball position, you know, for a seven iron, getting the ball position in a pretty consistent place in the swing, and helping the player realize that you have to hit the ball on the downswing. You have to hit down on it. As my wife always says, that's the one tip I say, hit down on it. But it's true. You've got to do all these things to hit the ball in the downswing. Well, the driver, it's the one club in the bag that is different from all those. So little adjustments in setup, but also the golfer kind of realizing what has to happen are two key things to help you hit it better.
Yeah, and the head position was so important. Can you go into that a little bit for us?
Yes. So with an iron, we typically want to see the head basically over the golf ball. When down at Golf Tech, we use video analysis and video feedback so a player can see exactly where the ball position is. And when you look at various tour players, you'll see that the ball position when they're hitting a 7-iron is somewhere between their left ear and their left eye, somewhere in that general range, and they're very consistent with it. And by placing the head there and keeping it there through impact, a player is able to hit down on the golf ball or hit the ball on the downswing. With a driver, we definitely want to see the head more back and behind the golf ball. Some of that is the result of positioning the shoulders and the head a little bit farther back, but it also is created just by putting the ball position more forward with the driver. So that way, you've got a little bit more mass behind the golf ball, and the low point of your swing will therefore happen before you actually strike the golf ball. That's the key thing with the driver, is you want that low point of the arc to be just before impact so that you are swinging up on it. And by putting the head back, it allows that to happen.
Exactly. And you know, what you said about with the irons, it's actually more difficult on the back because you're always trying to take a divot, you know, hit down. And with the driver, you're actually going up on the ball so that you don't go into the ground. And so it's not as stressful on the backs. It's just how you turn. I mean, if you're Tiger Woods when he's 20 and he's twisting himself up like a cartoon character, that's a whole different ball game. And I'm never going to get that flexible the way he was. So one of the great things, too, is have you folks ever noticed that when you take a practice swing, you got a really nice swing, and as soon as you put the ball there, all of a sudden it all goes away, and you become some sort of stiff thing that is like, and you don't hit it right? Okay, this is what you need to do. It's so much fun to hit the tee. at any practice facility, put those rubber tees, or go down to Golf Tech and talk to Jason Digert. Take a lesson. Director of Instruction, Jason Digert, Golf Tech, Honolulu. And it is fun. You get into this rhythm of just hitting that plastic or rubber tee and go out to bong. And then you hit it and you go, wow, I'm successful, I'm successful, I'm successful. And that just sort of makes you feel, yes, look at me, I'm hitting where I'm supposed to hit. The ball will go. And then when you put the ball there, you're just hitting that rubber tee again. Bam, and it goes. It was really, there was something wonderful about just doing the drills that you put me through. And when I was watching Golf Channel during a morning drive, of course, they were doing all of their work from the middle of the PGA merchandise show. They had one of your guys, one of your head guys from Golf Tech on. He said that you guys are going to be focusing at Golf Tech on lessons. Yes, of course, that's your core. But you're getting more into club selling and club fitting, not just the ones that you have now, but a whole spectrum of golf clubs. It was an interesting conversation that he was presenting. I thought that was, because as he said, once you teach somebody, they're gonna want to get golf clubs.
That's right. And down at Golf Tech, we are authorized fitters for Callaway, TaylorMade, Mizuno, and Adams. So absolutely right. When we're working with someone, right, we're trying to get their swing better. We're trying to establish good, solid fundamentals, help them practice better, and a part of that player reaching their golf goals is having equipment that's properly fit for them. So taking someone through a process and figuring out the best staff for them. There's so many staffs across the spectrum of steel and graphite and weights and bend profiles, and that's a pretty daunting thing when players initially are getting fit for clubs. But there's great technology out there to help us narrow those down, and then, you know, with our manufacturers, we can get a couple different clubs from Callaway, Mizuno, Taylor Made Adams, and help them get the proper club for them, and then let the player hit a few with each club and see what performs best, what gives them the best distance and dispersion, and what feels the best and what looks the best to them. I mean, all those things go into a properly fitted club, and once we've got that, then it's much easier for a player to make a good swing and get a good shot as a result.
Okay, this is Jason Digert, Golf Tech, and I want you to go down to check him out. Give them a call. I don't have your phone number on my sheet here for some reason, Jason. Give us your phone number.
441-0105. We are open every day of the week. Weekdays 9 a.m. until 8 p.m. Saturday and Sunday 9 a.m. to 6 p.m.
So you can work that into your schedule. The number is 441-0105. If you're in the state, of course, use 808. That's all right. 441-0105. And if you've ever giggled about somebody waggling before they hit their driver, it minimizes tension, so you might want to develop a little waggle for yourself. That's from Jason Digert. Thanks so much for being on the show. I'll see you real soon, Jason.
Thank you, Danielle. Appreciate it.
Aloha. Have a great weekend with the kids.
Yeah. Thank you.
We're going to come back and talk with Alex Maselli, golf writer. You know Alex. We were just talking about him with Bob Bupka. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futuristone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futuristone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf easier with the coaching of master PGA teaching professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game, scratch golfer or just beginner. As a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, now with the Ko'olina Golf Academy, you will get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Oh, man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh, man, can't be too happy about that one.
Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Hello, Claude Brousseau just back from the PGA show, too. He was hanging out with Bob Vokey, among many others, getting all kinds of information. Claude4bestgolf@gmail.com. And the four is a number four. Claude4bestgolf@gmail.com. We are KPUA Hilo, KGU FM Honolulu, KGU AM Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo, and we've got Alex Maselli in the clubhouse, journalist, reporter, golfer, and founder now of Morning Read. This is the guy who created golf.com way back when. Welcome to the show, Alex.
You're aging me, Danielle.
Is it my, you know, I don't know, what have I done? I mean, am I driving you crazy or just mentioning that you founded golf.com?
It seems so long ago. That's, let me think, it's 14 years ago.
See, no, just...
24 years ago. 24 years ago.
You just made it longer. We could have gone with 14.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
So now, Alex Maselli, journalist, reporter, and golfer. Golfer, you still got an 8 handicap, or is it getting even better now?
Actually, no. I haven't played since October.
What?
And I looked today, and that's my handicap, like 8.5 or something like that. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. There's no way in the world that that would happen today. So that's the problem with the handicap system right there.
Right there. It doesn't accurately reflect how many times you've actually played in the last 6 months. You're back from the PGA merchandise show.
I am.
You were presenting your new creation, Morning Read. Tell us.
Yeah, I mean, presenting, we're still working through it, but we did launch on Monday, and the whole idea of Morning Read is to create a couple stories a day that basically people don't write about, meaning, you know, as you have been to the Tournament Champions this year, and you were at Sony this year, you saw the very small contingent in the media center.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the problem we have now, is that this sport is not being covered very well. So I just wanted myself and others to write about things that others wouldn't write about, probably because partially they probably don't have any information or knowledge base about it. So we started that, and there's some other aspects to it, some press release packages and things like that, just a normal kind of thing. But I found it to be quite interesting because I would have to say we wrote Monday through Friday, and I don't think there was one story in there that I wasn't very happy with and felt like no one else covered. In fact, actually, some people picked some of the stuff up because they weren't covering it, including the DeChambeau issue with the putter that happened at Career Builder, and nobody found out about it until we talked to them the next week.
Yeah, now that's really important because I was wondering when the USGA would say, that's not legal. What you're doing is illegal. And so you guys at Morning Read picked up on what the USGA was telling him?
Yeah, we talked to him on Tuesday, and he told us the whole story about what happened on the Career Builders. And it's extremely unfortunate because it was an issue that should never have happened. Why it happened, there's some thought that, at least in his camp, that, you know, the USGA doesn't want to see him putting that way.
Yes.
Similar to not seeing people use long putters either, and so they decided to ban that. Now, that's the problem. We have a problem when we have such selective decision-making going on at the USGA.
Yeah, it's the look they don't like. Not necessarily that it gives him an advantage. Everybody's got to get it in the hole, but it's how he's holding it. They don't like seeing people holding it. Didn't someone else do that back 20 years ago, and he was told he was doing a croquet style?
Right, there was a couple different people. I mean, that, you know, go back to Sam Snead that was using croquet style, and they didn't want him to do that, so they made him go to side saddle. Which is exactly what Bryson is doing. But this was then the putter. And the most ridiculous part of it all is they said the putter was illegal. It was center shafted. He took the same exact head and made it rear shafted, and they had no problem with it.
Now, I don't understand what a center shafted putter, what advantage that would give somebody. Is it because it's right perpendicular to the, I mean, it sets...
Yeah, no. please do not ask me to explain the total idiocy of the USGA.
Okay.
I will just give you the facts.
Okay.
And then you can just shake your head and we can move on.
Okay. Okay. What's great about this is I'm finding when I go to morningread.com, go to morningread.com. Okay. This is free. You're not paying for this right now. Okay. It's morningread.com. Kind of like what Global Golf Post did several years ago. Morningread.com. You scroll down to the bottom of the page, and there's a subscription, archives, about us, privacy, terms of service, contact. You click on subscription. Even though it doesn't look like it's going to be activated, it does. The little finger points, you do that, and then you just, all they want from you is an email address. Your first name, your last name, and an email address. You submit it, and then into your inbox comes Morning Read. And I was going through and I was, oh, look, there's Gary Van Sickle. He's writing for Morning. Oh, there's Adam Shupak. I have, you know, so you've got a lot. And Jim McCabe. All these guys are writing for Morning Read.
Yeah, we feel good about the people that are writing and feel like they're the quality, some of the best writers that were out there. And so I feel really good about what we're trying to do. This is one. We'll be launching some other things this year as well. But this is the beginning of trying to just get some quality content in front of people. And we will never charge for the content that we provide to the golfers.
That's great. You have the calendar in here so everybody knows what's going on. LPGA Pure Silk Bahamas LPGA Classic. Of course, the launch of the 2017 LPGA season. European Tour, Commercial Bank Qatar Masters, the PGA Tour Farmers Insurance Open, where not only did Tiger Woods not make the cut, but we don't hear that much about Jason Day and Dustin Johnson not making the cut. But I thought it was interesting when they were talking about how, you know, the Tiger factor must have influenced Day and Johnson, which is why they didn't play as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Seriously.
What was your take?
Well, I'm sorry. Did they just fall off the golf turnip truck? Is that what happened? Never played in front of people before?
Well, what was your take? They just had a
bad
day.
Well, my take is they all play poorly.
Yeah.
That's pretty clear. I mean, you play poorly on this tour and you don't get to make the cut. And I haven't seen the North since Weisskopf redid it, but the South is not an easy golf course. And so if you're not playing well that day, you might as well be checking in and seeing where you can go, how you can get to Phoenix faster, because that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
The Tiger thing, I saw some people on Twitter, oh, you know, it was so great to see him do this. The guy missed the cut by, like, what, three shots, four shots, whatever it was?
Yeah.
He played horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy has spent, like, how many months getting ready to play in this tournament, a golf course that he won his last major on, a tournament that he's never missed the cut at, and he missed the cut. And these people are trying to explain it away. There's no explaining it away. He played horrible.
It's simple. He's just, you know, to me, it's the first time in competition in forever, and it's different than playing with your friends because the pace of play is completely, you're waiting. You know, when you're playing with friends and it's your golf course, basically you own it at the moment because he's Tiger Woods. He can play as quickly and as without stopping, and there's no, you know, waiting. It's his own pace. On the PGA Tour, you wait. And you wait, and you wait. And that's not something that's something you got to get used to. I'm just looking forward to seeing how he holds up over the next 5 weeks. I think it's going to be interesting. Alex Maselli, you've got Morning Read. So, folks, again, you go to morningread.com, scroll down, click on subscription, put your name and your email, and you guys, you keep all of that private, right?
Well, I share with you, Danielle, but no one else.
Okay. Alex, we'll talk again soon, okay?
Take care, Danny.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. We're going to come back and talk with Ron Cyrak. He is, of course, the man who knows everything about the LPGA, and it is the season opener on the LPGA. And then there's something going on. It's like everybody has, you know, Vision 54. I'm going to hit birdies every time. Look at Lexi Thompson yesterday. We'll be back with Ron right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Strong, quiet, dependable, reliable. Sounds like a great husband for my daughter. But really, it's your new Rainer garage door. Your home deserves the beauty and dependability that only Rainer can give. Call us today at 676-3667. Ask about our fall special and save money as you improve your home. That's Rainer Hawaii, 676-D-O-O-R.
My doctor recommended Allen Nakata and Associates, the pre-Social Security and Social Security recipient specialists on Oahu and Maui. The team will help you and your parents avoid problems before they come up. Our dedication, commitment, experience, and empathy comes from the heart. Call Allen Nakata and Associates at 548-7526. Learn how you can hang on to what you have and keep your parents at home. Allen Nakata is your guide.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Experts on call.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club. But you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the Golf Club.
Okay, you know the name Andy Sullivan, right? And you know Rafa Cabrera Bello, right? But you should look at the European Tour. Junhong Wang, Nacho Elvira, Jakob Van Zyl, or, you know, I mean, Thomas Aiken, you mean Andy Sullivan, and Kiridich Abibranrot, and Joachim Langergren, and Nathan Kimsey. It's just fabulous how this game has gone global. In the 19 years I've been doing this show, they talked about going global, and they certainly have gone global. And the equipment manufacturers, I hope, are, you know, getting all reaping the rewards of golf clubs selling around the world. Now, there's something else going on in the world of golf, and that is the scores just keep getting lower and lower. 15-8, you know, 59, 61. Let's talk with Ron Cyrak. He wrote a great article just recently, roncyrak.com. He's also a Golf Digest senior writer, author of Play Your Best Golf Now, covered over 150 majors. And Play Your Best Golf Now, a great book that you should get from him, Ron Cyrak, is all about Vision 54, making a birdie on every hole. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ron.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Daniel. Always a pleasure.
You know what? Tell us what you think. Is it no longer a big deal to shoot 58?
Well, I think when Furyk shot 58 in September, I wrote a column then saying, you know, maybe golf's broken the four-minute mile. Until Roger Bannister broke the four-minute mile, no one thought it was possible. And then once he did it, the floodgates were open, and everybody started running the mile in under 4 minutes. And I think for golf, 59's always been the magic number, and now it's been lowered to 58, and all of a sudden, that whole idea of Vision 54 does not seem unreasonable. It's, you know, one of the things, the two people who came up with the idea, Pia Nielsen and Lynn Marriott, you know, they one of the things they say is what you achieve is limited by what you believe you can achieve, you know. So you set your sights high, and you just might get there. And when Annika Sorenstam shot the only 59 that's ever been shot on the LPGA, she birdied the first eight holes in a row and 12 of the first 13.
Wow.
So, I mean, that was around. I kid her all the time. I said, you shot the only 59 that should have been, like, lower. You know, she parred four of the last five holes and shot 59.
Yeah, truly phenomenal. A phenomenal woman, a phenomenal player, and what she's done for golf since retiring, quote unquote, from actively competing in the game is amazing. Now we're watching the opening of the LPGA season at Pure Silk Bahamas, and looking at the scores, I mean, Brittany Lincecum sets the 36-hole record of 17 under 129 with her second round 65 yesterday, right after a 64 the first opening day. But what does Lexi Thompson do? My God, 12 under 61. She's now the second lowest in relation to par, I think, in LPGA history. Annika Sörenstam, Miss 59, was 13 under par, 10 birdies, an eagle. What?
Yep.
Was this because she was practicing with the guys during the off season?
Well, you know, it does. I do think it becomes a question of belief, you know, of what you think you can are capable of doing out there, and to go out and play aggressively and attack the golf course. And, you know, the way that they came up with the idea of Vision 54 is when Pia Nilsson was coach of the Swedish national team, she found that her players would complain all the time. They'd say, oh, how can we compete with the Americans? They have better courses. They have better practice facilities. They have a longer summer. We only have 3 months of summer here. And how can we do it? So she'd say to them, have you ever birdied the first hole on your home course? And they'd all say, yeah. And then she'd talk them through the entire course and found out at one time or another, they all had birdied every hole on their home golf course. So she said, well, see, it's possible. So why not make that your goal? Why not go out there and try to birdie every hole when you play? Make birdie be your par, not par.
Isn't that, I mean, that's perfect, isn't it? When you
and the genius of what they do, too, is P and Lynn teach, for somebody like me, you know, you have your own version of 54. You know, for me, you know, like on my home course, I've set up in my mind what should be my Vision 54 for that golf course and what I try to achieve. And it has nothing to do with the numbers on the scorecard, but it has to do with me and who I am. And, you know, and I think that's part of the message that they're getting through to a lot of the players they're working with.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just showing on the tour. I think even if you don't school under them, you know, you hear about them. You hear about what their message is, and the mind will follow, you know, if the body will follow what the mind believes. If the mind is set that it can do this, then the body will respond. And that's
right.
That's
right.
The bottom line. So if you believe, then you can achieve. And that's it's a beautiful thing. It's the doubt, of course, that creeps in sometimes and causes problems. And I think what Arya Jutanugarn does when she discards the driver, which I think Tiger Woods ought to just do, she uses her 3-wood and she hits that thing like a driver because she believes she can do it. I think it's perfect.
I was at the KPMG Women's PGA Championship at Sahale last year, and she drove on most holes with a 2-iron. First off, she's probably the only player on the LPGA who has a 2-iron in her bag. But she was hitting this 2-iron. It was making a sound coming off the club face. She was compressing the ball in such a special way that she was eliciting gas from the gallery. You know, it would make this special crack noise. And she'd hit these 240-yard low draws with it and was finding the fairway. And if you can hit a 240 and put it in the fairway, that's not a bad place to be, no matter what tour you're playing on.
Yeah. And it's wonderful to see. But my point is, you take the thing that makes you doubt yourself out of the equation. Right. Why even bother with that if you can accomplish your goal without using the driver? Something that's really, really cool for Hawaii that's happening, and I think it's really cool for the LPGA. I don't know that it's going to be, and I talked with Mark Rolfing earlier in the show because he's on his way to talk with the folks who manage Kapalua. And the idea of creating what we have, the Tournament of Champions, SBS Tournament of Champions, having the PGA Tour Tournament of Champions. There's no Tournament of Champions on the LPGA Tour. And the idea of both of them coming together at Kapalua at the beginning of the year is something that both Mike Wann and Jay Monahan have been talking about. What are your thoughts?
And it's something that every TV executive that I've talked to loves. They love that idea. They love something different. You know, I did the math on it. If this year you had had a tournament of champions for both the men and the women, you'd have had a 51-player field. Well, that's very, very doable. And you would have the men competing against the men from their tees, the women competing against the women from their tees. So you'd have two events going on at the same time. I think I'm hugely in favor of that idea in general. I think a tournament of champions is a good place to start, and I'd like to see it expand and have a regular pool field event somewhere down the road, too. Again, television looks at golf and says, you know, we need something different than 72 holes of stroke play every week. We have that every week. We have that 12 times around the world every week. Let's come up with different stuff, and I think we're starting to see some creativity creep into the planning where I would like to see best ball match play on both tours. I'd like to see mixed team events on both tours. You know, the two tours getting together and playing mixed team match play. I think that would be just a hoot for the fans.
Yes, it would be. It would be. It would be. And I think the Olympics started with this regular stroke play format because globally, not everybody is entrenched in golf like you, like everybody who follows golf. We all know the different formats. That may be confusing to the average viewer in some place that doesn't have golf as a major focal point in sport. So the idea of doing something creative may have been way too far outside the box for as an introduction.
Right. I think that golf was, in the Olympics, an unqualified success. It far exceeded my expectations. I hadn't thought about what if a golf tournament is the finishing third matter as much as the Olympics. I mean, watching Matt Kuchar fighting to get the bronze medal on the final day, that was awesome. But I would like to see them bring the national element more into play by, again, doing best ball match play. I mean, how cool would it be to see Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler playing Adam Scott and Jason Day?
Yeah.
Two Americans against two Australians. You know, how good would it be to see Lexi Thompson and Stacey Lewis going against Inji Chun and Inbee Park? You know, I mean, that would be awesome. And it's one of the real smart things the LPGA did when they created the International Crown, is they created eight countries, four players per team, and they made this event where it's nation against nation. And you really see it. Japan and Korea don't necessarily want to be on the same team. You know, they want to play against each other. They have a natural rivalry there. It's brilliant what they did with that event.
Now, this is a Solheim Cup year, is it not?
It is a Solheim Cup year. It's in Des Moines, Iowa this year. I was there for they had the senior open there in, I'd say, about 1999. And on Saturday, it set the USGA single-day attendance record, 52,000 people.
Wow.
I'm expecting there to be attendance record set for the Solheim Cup this year. That's a perfect market for the LPGA to go into.
This is Ron Cyrak, ronsyrak.com. You can find all of his writing there, Golf Digest senior writer, and author of, it's a trilogy, Play Your Best Golf Now. He's covered over 150 majors. So when he talks about having been there and, you know, he's been there. And it's just phenomenal. Now, Annika Sörenstam is the European Tour captain. And she was giving somebody a little something like one of her assistants was out there and she goes, yeah, keep practicing. It was on Twitter. It was really cute. There's a camaraderie. It's interesting because they all play on the LPGA Tour. And yet as soon as Solheim Cup or the International Crown, everybody is in their camp and the competition begins. Who do you think's got the edge this year?
Well, it's interesting because we're seeing sort of a changing of the guard on both tours, where we're seeing more younger players getting into the mix. Allison Lee was right in the midst of it with Suzanne Pedersen last year, or the last Solheim Cup. And I think that you have to like the Americans' chances because they're playing on the home field. But what happens a lot, and it's funny, it happens in the Solheim Cup, it happens in the Ryder Cup. The European players who all of a sudden become great putters, you know, they all of a sudden make the putts in the Solheim Cup or the Ryder Cup that they don't make in the major championships. And it truly is for the Europeans, probably more so than the Americans, their fifth major, and they play it with an incredible intensity.
Well, I'm looking at the leaderboard right now. This is the first event of the 2017.
A lot of Americans on that leaderboard.
Yeah. Right. Jarena Pillar, isn't she one of your favorites?
The astounding fact to me about Jarena Pillar is she didn't start playing golf till she was 15 years old. Lydia Ko had won two pro tournaments by the time she was 15 years old.
Exactly.
She's still getting. She's in her early 30s. Jarena is, but you know, she's still learning. She's still getting better.
Isn't that wonderful? And then Stacey Lewis seems more composed or something. I'm not sure. Watching her, she just seems more settled. Am I getting the right impression?
I think so. For several years there, she was shouldering the load for the Americans. From 1950 to 1994, only one non-American was LPGA Player of the Year. And since 1994, only one American has been Player of the Year, and that's Stacey Lewis, who did it twice. So I think that she's had it's hard to say she struggled because she keeps putting herself in position, but I think she's had, since her last win, she's had something like 12 or 14 second place finishes. And I think part of that was that she was feeling that pressure of being the American star out there. And I think now she's learned how to deal with that pressure a little bit.
That's excellent. So now to Tiger Woods, going to Dubai after his Torrey Open. Ron Cyrak has seen Tiger Woods win all of his 14 major championships and then some. And, of course, after not making the cut, and I thought it was so funny, I think you may have heard when I said that they were blaming the Tiger factor on Dustin Johnson and Jason Day not making the cut. But we'll be able to talk next weekend, because we're going to continue our conversation next weekend about how Tiger Woods is doing on his return.
Yeah, I heard a little bit at the end of your interview with Alex, and I'll disagree with Alex. I'm not going to bash Tiger for missing the cut, because it's the first PGA Tour event that he's played in 522 days, and I'm encouraged by the fact that he's playing four times in 5 weeks, because I've always felt Tiger needs to play more, compete more, practice less, and work out less. Tiger believes that he can figure it out on the range, and I just don't see any evidence that that's true. It's not true for me,
Yeah.
I hit the ball great on the range, and I get on the first tee, and it goes away.
Exactly.
You need to get out there and learn it on the golf course. So the most encouraging sign to me for both the Hero World Challenge he played in December and at Torrey Pines is he looked healthy. He wasn't limping. He wasn't grimacing.
Exactly.
Four times in 5 weeks, we'll find out where his game stands, and we'll find out how his body's going to hold up to that.
Yeah, and we'll find out if he gets used to the pace of play, which seemed to bother him a lot.
Yeah.
Ron Cyrak, I look forward to talking with you next Saturday, when the golf club reconvenes. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Talk to you then, Daniel.
Aloha. Bye-bye. Thank you to Alan Nakata and Associates, the pre-Social Security and Social Security recipient specialists. They're on Oahu and Maui. The team will help you and your parents avoid problems before they come up. That's Alan Nakata, 548-7526. I should go. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted the PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. Poipu Bay Golf Golf Course, an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. They have gift cards, makes for an excellent Valentine's Day gift. Kauai's South Shore Gem. Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, your warehouse, your showroom, or your home project into artwork. Futura Stone, only the best. Claude Brousseau, a master PGA professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 coach, Aimpoint certified, Golf Channel lead coach. You need a lesson with Claude Brousseau. And Creative Plumbing, whether a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, a townhouse, whether a new build, a renovation, or a repair, call Creative Plumbing. It's got to be done right, and they do it right. They are Creative Plumbing. And Rainer Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. You know the Lamborghini showroom. You know those cars are really expensive. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. You want your home safe. Go to Rainer Doors. If you'd like to hear the show again, all you have to do is go to radiogolfclub.com. And, of course, you can hear us on Stitcher or TuneIn or SoundCloud, iTunes, all of those things, okay? So, or right at radiogolfclub.com. There's the listen link in about 30 minutes. You can listen to it right there on an MP3. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot. That is the sweet spot every time. My name's Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2017.